You are listening to The Lost Love Diaries by Devin J. Hall, a behind-the-scenes segment for comfortably uncomfortable conversations. I respectfully acknowledge that I am blessed by the land upon which we gather, live, and connect. It is the traditional and unceded territory of the Coast Salish peoples, specifically the Kwantlen, the Katsi, the Semiamu, and the Tawasin First Nations. So I'm 24 seconds into this episode, and I honestly have no idea what I'm going to talk about. You guys know that I don't have a script when I do these. I do them because I'm doing a 15-week challenge to try and push myself into falling back in love with the person that I am. We keep talking about wanting to find the person that we used to be, that version of ourselves that was happy and carefree and didn't care about what people thought of us or how they perceived who we are. And the thing is that once you've been through trauma and abuse, you can't go back to being who you used to be. Trauma and abuse specifically are game changers. And you are forced to become someone else completely, largely against your will in an effort to survive. My goal for 37 years has been to just survive. Because I've been through so much and I've experienced so much and I've seen so much and I've done so much. And I remember being a little girl when people would say, I want this from the universe and I want that from the universe. I would just say, I want to be smart and I want to be wise and I want to be strong. And I'm looking back at all of the different versions of who I used to be. And I keep thinking that girl was strong. My 3-year-old self who believed that she could make herself smarter if she could learn how to get the neurons in her brain to fire faster. I think I was like 5. My 9-year-old self who believed she could see WCW wrestler Raven driving by her on a motorcycle even though he wasn't actually there. Or my 13-year-old self who thought she could see angels in the clouds. Those girls were creative and inventive, and they didn't care what anybody thought about them. And I feel like I'm constantly trying to live up to who I used to be. And this 15-week process is really about discovering who I am now. This week, I took a walk for the first time in a year. I got stoned, and I plugged in my headphones, and I took a walk. And that was really healthy and it was really healing. And part of the reason that I haven't been walking is because the walking park right by my house is where I used to walk my dog. So going through there is really triggering and reminds me that he's not here anymore and neither is my other dog, Rosie. And that hurts. I broke down this week and I cried for like 15 minutes because I just miss my dogs. I cherished their presence in my life, but I don't think that I loved them enough. I don't think that they got enough of my attention. I think that I got frustrated with the responsibility, and I think that I got just busy with life. And I won't say that I neglected them, but I will say that they deserved more out of me, that's for sure. Part of it is I was a new dog owner and I never owned dogs before. And part of it is, you know, that's life. Sometimes you get busy and the people that you love and the creatures that you love don't get as much of your attention as you would like. I've also been thinking about, and this is a trigger warning, so if you have kids in the room, maybe turn this off. But I've also been thinking about what happened the night that I was gang raped. And this week in particular, there were some people who have let it be known to me, at least, that initially when everything happened, they thought that I was lying. And new evidence, so to speak, has come to life that has shown them that I wasn't lying. And it's so funny because I'm like, okay, so now you know I'm not lying. What would you like me to do with that information? Because you knowing that I am not a liar about what was done to me and what I went through does nothing for my life. It changes it in absolutely no way. The men that raped me still got away with it. They are still not going to jail. I still don't have the strength to press charges for a fifth time and go through that whole process by myself. The last time that I tried to tell the police what happened to me, they had me declared psychotic and institutionalized. So the fact that you know that I was gang raped and that you know for a fact that it happened does nothing for me. That's great. Glad that you're on the same page as me now, but I've moved on. And that's where I'm at. Like, I just feel like I have moved on from that experience. And for the rest of my life, everything that I do or say or who I become will be a direct result of that experience. But I'm choosing not to focus on it every second of the day. I don't have the energy. I don't have the emotional capacity. I'd like it noted that I'm completely sober. I have not smoked a joint. I'm a little hungover. But I haven't smoked a joint and I haven't drunk anything since last night. So I'm clear-headed and I'm fully aware of what I'm saying. And I know that for some people, getting over the experience of trauma is not easy. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort. It's emotionally, physically, and spiritually taxing. And I honestly, it's kind of like learning how to masturbate again, because I didn't think that I could after acknowledging everything that I had been through. For a couple years after it happened, I had no problem masturbating. I had no problem with my sexuality or my body. But then once I got arrested and all the memories started coming back, that was really difficult for me. It was really difficult for me to touch my body and feel like it was mine, because I had to acknowledge that my body had been raped and beaten and tortured by men that were trying to claim me in a way to diminish me. And so reclaiming my body through masturbation and self-pleasure was really, really difficult. And the one thing that I've learned is that if I can reclaim my own body through that tool, through masturbation, through self-pleasure, through self-acceptance, through self-love, then potentially I can have a future relationship again one day. And I've definitely learned this last week that just because abuse and trauma happened, it's over now. Like, it's done. I've survived. I'm here. I'm still alive. I have no plans to go anywhere anytime soon. The thing is, though, that, like, I am keenly aware that I am afraid that I'm going to die. And I am afraid that I'm going to die because I've been through so much pain and so much sexual abuse and so much trauma that every day to me feels like a gift. I wake up and I'm like, oh God, I'm still alive. How did that happen? And I'm keenly aware that it's because my abusers have not chosen to come and end my life. But I'm also acutely aware of the fact that they could change their mind at any moment, because that's what abusers do. They go from being perfectly nice people to being abusive in 2.3 seconds flat. And there's no time to digest the fact that somebody you care about or love has abused you. And so knowing that every day is a gift, I'm trying to move past the trauma because I want to celebrate that gift. I want to honor it. I don't want to spend it whining and complaining and being sad and miserable about the fact that this happened. Yes, it happened. Yes, it sucked. It's absolutely terrible. It's not fair. It's not my fault. I didn't do anything wrong. I shouldn't have to suffer because of it for the rest of my life. I shouldn't be afraid to go for a walk. I shouldn't be afraid to masturbate. I shouldn't be afraid to take a shower. I shouldn't be afraid to spend time with friends. I shouldn't be afraid to invite people into my new life. I have somebody coming here for my birthday, and I realized this week that I don't want to see her when she comes, because if I cross that threshold and I let her into my life, she might hurt me. Because it wasn't just men that hurt me. There were women that stabbed me in the back. There were women that lied. There were women that knew what happened to me and said it didn't happen. There were women that are still today, this day, protecting my abusers, because protecting my abusers means protecting themselves. And so I have a really tricky relationship with women. And I get scared that I'm going to get hurt again, that I'm going to be vulnerable, that I'm going to let somebody I care about in, and they're just going to turn around and slit my throat. And this is something that is going to take a lot of time and a lot of therapy and a lot of practice to work through. But acknowledging it means, one more time, that once it's been acknowledged, you can no longer ignore it. It's like the red wall in the room. If you ignore the red wall and you don't look at the red wall, then it doesn't exist. But the minute that you look at the red wall, suddenly it exists and you have to do something about it. And that's really what these love diaries are about. It's about acknowledging this is XYZ and now I have to deal with ABC. And I don't like it. It's not fun. It's uncomfortable. But then growth is uncomfortable, right? And so Like taking a walk every single day is a small thing that I can do to combat my fear. Going and visiting my friend when she comes to visit is a small thing I can do to combat my fear. Making sure that I have, this week I posted an emergency tweet and I said, if I ever use the phrase red banana on my Twitter, then you know that something is wrong and I can't get to my phone to call 911. Please call 911 and let them know that something is wrong. And I pinned that tweet. It might not seem like a huge deal to somebody else, but to me, it's a small thing that I can do that makes me feel like I'm reclaiming some of my power. And at the end of the day, when it comes to healing and self-love, really what you're trying to do after trauma is to reclaim your power and to be like, this is what I can do that will keep me safe. So now everybody who follows me knows if they see the phrase red banana, they have to call 911 immediately. Point the police officers to the tweet, and the police officers can do whatever they can do to find me. Again, super small thing, but it makes me feel a little bit safer. Checking in with my mom. I check in with my mom about 2 or 3 times a day. If I'm not checking in with her, it's usually because I'm having an anxiety attack. It's usually because I'm having a really hard time dealing with my stress and my trauma. When I am checking in with her, it means that I'm doing okay, that I'm safe. I'm letting her know I'm safe. I'm checking in on how seeing how her day is going. And it keeps me going throughout the day. These lost love diaries are definitely a part of reclaiming my power, my blog, working with writers and editors of color. Everything that I am doing is about rebuilding a brand new version of my life instead of trying to go back to what it was before, because to be honest with you, it wasn't that great. I was drinking all the time. I was partying with people I didn't particularly like. I was saying things that I didn't particularly believe in order to impress the people around me, the people that I didn't particularly like. And then I got gang raped. And I remember running into one of my rapist's mom, a few months after it happened, or a few weeks, I think. And he was there. And before she even said hello, I was just like, I don't drink anymore. And my friend was on the phone. And after the mom and her son left, she was like, why do you do that? Why do you make excuses for why you haven't been around or why you don't see people? And it was like, I couldn't tell my friend at the time the reason that the first words out of my mouth were, I don't drink anymore, which is why I haven't seen you, is because her son was standing right there and he was the one that had raped and tried to murder me. He choked me out and I felt like I needed to put up a wall to protect myself from questions and inquisitions that I wasn't prepared and ready to answer. And I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to have fake friendships. I don't want to have tenuous friendships. I want to have real friendships with real people that love me. And so all of this is about rebuilding my strength. That's what I'm doing this week. I'm going to try and go out for more walks. I'm going to try and get some more fresh air. And I'm going to try and remember that not everybody in the entire world is out to get me. As per my new weekly tradition, this is in honor of Trevor Noah, your moment of Zen. Thank you for listening. I love you, and I'll talk to you next week.